The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hiya, babe.
Hello, Mr. Swan.
How are you doing?
Well, you know, Luke's got food poisoning. For anyone that's listening who doesn't know, I've got a husband. He's called Luke. He ate a sausage and egg butty from a hole in the wall because he works nights. He's paramedic. God love him, so he's doing a shift. But he's got food poisoning. And to say, I am bored of hearing it. I am bored of eating him. I've had to leave him lying on the floor, wouldn't let him lie on the bed because it was fresh bed, and I was going, you are sweating on that bed.
Has he been that bad?
Yeah, he's been terrible. God love him, and he really is unwell. But you know, when you've been on lockdown with your fella for that long, you just think, oh, you'll just have to lie on the floor, love.
He's already doing your editing and now he's carrying on. You're like, do one.
We are on lockdown.
Do you know what? I'm dead lucky because Connor is just the easiest going person in the world. I'm the high maintenance one, as you know.
I know. Imagine if I did the podcast with Connor, what he would say now.
I just think, how the hell does he put up with me? Because he just, like, everything just rolls off his back. So he's quite chilled. But I have been moody this week.
Yeah, I have been. And I think it's because I'm not used to being locked down with Luke, because through the pandemic, obviously he's paramedic, he's worked non-stop, so I've got my own routine, like me and the baby, and like I've got like me work and da da da, and he's like really messed up my routine, so I'm like, bastard, getting sick.
Oh, series 4 is all about the guests, so each week we've got someone new coming on just to talk to us about how they're getting through lockdown, what they're doing fitness wise and just everything mental health for us to get through lockdown well. Our next guest's in the waiting room, waiting to come in. I've been so excited for this week's guest. She's a TV presenter. She's a footballer. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's just fucking incredible. We have Liverpool's very own Chelsea Grimes.
Yes, you said Liverpool. Amazing. Because he's been calling me a wolf for ages. I've actually got Liverpool tattooed on me there as well. So that
is that to remind you?
Yeah, just in case I don't forget. I travel that much, I need a reminder sometimes. But no, I'm made up, to be honest.
How have you been fines in lockdown this time, babe?
You know what? It's been amazing for me, to be honest. First lockdown. So I lived in London for 7 years. And I'd come and travel back and forth whenever I could. But the first lockdown, I had a breakup. So I fully moved back in with my parents. And then I just got on the fitness wagon again. I was still playing football then, though. It hadn't officially stopped. But this lockdown, it's fully stopped football for me. So I was like, right, I need to get into something. So I ended up buying a house. That's kept me pretty busy as well as fitness and that. But I'm loving it. I'm loving being back. And I've kept, my accent's got stronger. That's what all my London mates keep saying.
Yeah, as soon as you get back, you're like, oh, I'm back. Hi.
I found it. No lie. Like, it's just the people are like, when I was in London, something simple as this, I had a pair of jeans that were like super ripped up. I think I wore them in London like 3 times or whatever. No one speaks to you. I literally got off the train to Liverpool. And as soon as my foot touched on like Scouse soil, this girl looked at me and she went, fucking hell, girl, you must be freezing. And I was like, yes,
I'm home.
It's mad, isn't it? Like the difference between the two cities. Like I lived in London for ages as well. And like when you actually come home, you're always a bit like, and at first it takes you like a minute to like acclimatise to people letting on to you and people talking to you for no reason. And then when you go back down, you think, oh, bloody hell, you miserable bastard, crack a smile. Do you know what I mean?
Literally, when I first moved there, I kept getting hit in the face with the door because I was just used to people holding it for me. But yeah, it doesn't work quite like that. I just feel like now when I go, you know, I still go once a week or once every 2 weeks to film or whatever. And it's like my mindset, as soon as I get off, it just switches into business, and then I get back and I can relax.
Well, do you know, you've just said, right, you've come out of a relationship, you've moved out, but you've also given up alcohol, haven't you? Is this all connected to the breakup? Is it all like a rediscovery of yourself?
You know what it is? I think in London, I was just super lonely, I'll be honest. Like, everyone would look and be like, oh, you look like you're living the dream. And like, I was, you know, I'm writing with great artists and I have a lovely life of nothing to complain about, but it does get lonely. I'm very, you know, I'm a Scouser at heart, very family orientated. And I think I just missed that a lot. And I was drinking too much. I was going out and, you know, the party scene in London in Soho, it's amazing. And it was just one of them. And I think when I got back, I literally just had some time on my own. And I was thinking, how can I really, really make a change this time? Because I turned 28. And I just wanted to try sober. I think from the age of 18, 19, I've never not drank for like 3 or 4 days. So I'd done a week, and then at New Year's, I was in bed with a book at like 11:30, like watching the fireworks out my window. But I just feel so empowered. Like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I've nearly done 2 months now, and I just feel boss.
It's really addictive, isn't it? Like, waking up every day and just like, we obviously love training because we're personal trainers, but like, once like you see someone get on it and really start to love it, and you wake up every day and you just feel so fresh, and like, you can just jump out of bed and you're like flying around, you think, could I actually be bothered spending a day doing nothing? And then it's a few months or a few weeks later and you're like, oh, go on, I'll have another little go again. And then the hangover stuff, you're like, no, I'm tapping out.
I was getting anxiety too. Like, I'd never really had that before, ever. And then the last time I had a drink, it was our Christmas night out with my football team and my Tranmere Rovers now. And I don't know what it was, but like, obviously, I think me just like leveling up. And like I said, like, this is the first time I've really like sat with myself, and like, I've got into like self-help and like really like having this transformation. And I think I was like, oh my God, like, I feel really down and I don't know why. And it's been like 2 days and I don't really want to get dressed. What is this? And the only thing it was is that I drank. That was the only thing that had been different. And I was just like, you know what? I need to put this in a bottle and just remember how I'm feeling right now, because that's going to stop me. And then, yeah, I'm not even being tempted. I had a date a few weeks ago and she got drunk and I was sober. And there was just this moment where I went outside and I just like, I could see all my thoughts clearly. It was like, well, I've got that option, I've got that option, I've got that option, or what about that option? And I was like, oh my God, look at all these thoughts. Like, whereas when I'm pissed, it was just one thought and you go into it's just super empowering for me. And I think I'm really going to try and see how long and, you know, how good I feel for as long as I can.
Well, do you know what, Chelsea? There's probably loads of people right now who are in lockdown and they're in the same like situation that you were, where they're relying on a drink to get through this, because it is an unnatural like position we're in at the minute. What benefits are you feeling and seeing now from giving up drink that you can maybe share with other people to inspire them to do the same as you?
Well, for sure, I feel super energized. That's one thing. Like, every day, I bounce out of bed anyway, quite like loving life. But like, I just wake up, I'm fresh. You feel like you've got so many more hours in the day. And then, you know, they do say you only drink when, I think it's like mad, sad, something bad. And there's a few other things, but they're always quite negative. And I was getting into a place where, you know, if I was something great had happened, I'd had a song, amazing, or a show, let's have a drink. If I was sad and my mates were around and I was having a rant, let's have a drink. If I was bored, I'd look and I'd think, oh, let's have a drink. And I just thought,
I swear, you're talking about Richie, you know.
I know, I was just about to say, I feel like this is me.
But it's everyone. I think it's kind of in us, you know, we're northerners as well. It's quite, you know, that's what people do. They get back from work, have a glass of wine, and it's just in us. And I think, yeah, the positives, sorry to go on a tangent, but like, positives, 100% way more energy, 100% a lot more time. The most important thing I've found is just clarity in my thought process. Like, I was just always going to like a negative space. Like, as much as you could be sky high, like the next day or the next day after that, there's going to be a time where your levels just start to imbalance, and, you know, the alcohol is going to leave your system, and you do just sit there and the other option is to drink more or like sit with yourself. And you know, it wasn't easy. There was a few nights where I was thinking, oh mate, like I'm not in a good space here. But, you know, a few days in, you're positive, you feel bosh, you know, you haven't had a drink. And I don't know, I just honestly recommend someone to just try it. Just try it.
Are you going to try it, Richie?
So mine's like moderation at the minute, because last lockdown I had a blow up. I come out like a stone heavier. And I was like, that is not happening this time. I am glowing up.
Yeah, the calories. I didn't mention that. The calories are like...
They kill you.
Yeah, wow. Them Pornstar martinis out the can. I was like...
I thought you were going to talk about your date then. I was like, what?
She wasn't a porn star.
I'm only messing.
Being there, done that.
So how are you finding now being back home? So Maria, who's Chelsea's mum, they're both doing Sort Your Fit Out with me. So you've got your connection, even though you can't see each other all the time, through working out. But is it just great being home again and being around family?
It's brought us together, Rich, honestly. I know I messaged you about it the other day and I just said thanks. I was working out first lockdown. I was like, come on, mum, come and do something. No, she was just like, oh, she'll do something. And then be like, it's too hard. You know, she's week four into it now. She wouldn't even try the burpee. She was always doing, you know, even in the shoulder taps, what we do, yeah. She'd just hold the plank. And now she's like, look at me go. And it's just amazing to see. Like, you know, that's something that's just been, yeah, amazing. Even more for me, you know, when I'm in pain and I look over and she's still going. It's just brilliant. So,
yeah.
Honestly, thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
No, thank you.
It's brought us closer together as well in a strange way because we're both gunning for the same thing. So, yeah, exercising that fitness, what my mum's found, it's just been incredible for her.
It's quite good this lockdown, isn't it? Like, I feel like the first one we were all like at barbecues and parties and like, you know what I mean? We were all on the drink on the Zoom parties and all that. But now, like, so many people are like, okay, well, this is what life is for however long, so I need to just like adapt myself. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, like loads of people are dipping the toe now.
Honestly, it's incredible. Even when we work out and you see the chat going off, and I just think of all the people who are just like, you know, making a positive change here in this time, because you know, it is a choice. That's one other thing I've learned, which is in my whole revolutionary new, the mindfulness. But, you know, we all do have a choice, don't we? End of the day, we wake up, am I going to have coffee? Am I going to have tea? Am I going to put this song on? Am I going to put that one on? Am I going to work out? Am I not going to work out? And I think, just the clarity of not drinking again just makes me go, yeah, go ahead, let's do it. I'm just more in a nicer, positive space.
Hey, Chels, you said before about your split up with your girlfriend. Because we've been watching, have you seen It's a Sin?
No.
Oh my God. You need to watch it. It's
Channel 4.
Fell out years and years. And it's about the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. And it's following a group of gay friends and all that. And me and my fella were watching it. And I was like, it took me right back 20 years ago about how like scared I was coming out because there was so much going on. And I was going to him, it's such a different thing now for someone because he's the same age as you to come out. How was your coming out experience? Did you just like glide out gracefully singing
you
about
know what?
It all?
So I played football obviously for you know, I got signed to Liverpool when I was 9. I played football up to the age of 16. If you look at a picture of me from a kid, I was constantly just like in a football kit. So I thought, you know, there's a stereotype around women's football and, you know, a lot of people are just like, oh, everyone's gay, which they're not at all. But for me, I just thought, oh, everyone's going to know, surely. But when I told my mum, I was like, I think I like girls as well. You know, I'd done that for a minute, like, oh, maybe I like both. And my stepdad's like, you're not a lesbian, are you? And I was like, no. but yeah, I think, you know, I had a boyfriend and it weren't the one. And then by the time I was 18, I got a big record deal. I remember them, me saying, oh, I'd really like a girl in the music video. And they were like, no, that's not happening. So that was like 10 years ago. And they were saying, you know, maybe you should say that you like both. So you're not cutting the fan base down and stuff. And I really remember like fighting with myself a lot over that because it didn't feel right. It didn't, you know, I've got a lot of integrity about me. Like I'll only do something if it feels right. Like I'm not going to sell you to fucking fat burner. Like, do you know what I mean? Even if I get 50 grand, it's not worth it for me because I've got a little 11-year-old sister, you know what I mean? I'm trying to inspire her. So it's important for me. And I think when I finally come to terms, I was like 23, 24, and I was dating someone else at the time. And that was like my first relationship. And she had us in the closet for like 2 years. She was in media and she didn't want to come out. And it was the hardest thing in my life. That was so difficult for me because I just finally owned myself. And then here I go, falling in love with someone who was like, but I'm not gay. I've just fallen in love with me and no one can know. And it was just the worst head fuck of my life. And then after that, I dated someone at the whole other end of the spectrum who was like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I'm out. And then that didn't work. So somewhere in the middle, I think we need to find. But it's definitely easier now. But I do think it comes down to families and stuff because I still get so many messages, yeah, from young people saying, you know, can you give me any tips on coming out? Like, my family aren't really supportive. And it's so difficult. I was very lucky to not have parents like that. You know, they were quite accepting of it, but it's still difficult.
I had to stop my mum from putting a big rainbow flag outside the house with coming here, my son's gay, going to Asda, talking to everyone from when I was kicking. Oh, Richie's a gay, you know. She was the most proud mum in the world. She'd be gutted if I was straight.
Oh, I love that.
Rich, do you remember when you used to tell everyone that you'd only fancied black girls because there was no black girls in McGull where we lived? There was no black girls down there.
They were like, why haven't you got a girl? I was like, oh, I only fancied you like Esther from Eternal.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Esther that's from amazing. Eternal.
I was obsessed with Eternal. Do you know what, right? It's mad to think you go through your whole life questioning, being told that what you feel isn't right. And then when you finally admit it and go, right, I'm proud of who I am. And then your people you're working for are like, as if it's something you need to be ashamed about, going, you can't say you're just into girls. I can't get my head around that.
I mean, like I said, that was 10 years ago. I think now, you know, you look like Sam Smith and, you know, like you said, Ollie, you know, King Princess, who's like out as a lesbian and queer woman. And yeah, it's just, it is changing. And like pretty much everyone in the industry now is pretty much, you know, very open with everything. But I just remember even, you know, the girl who I dated just being like so ashamed by it almost. And it was just people who knew that we were together was like, this is nothing to like, this is not going to hinder you. But she had it in her mind that it was a hindrance. And imagine that, like, if she's in the media and she was feeling bad, then it's still obviously in there. It's still definitely a thing.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
For anyone that doesn't know, can you give us a little bit of a background about your musical career?
Well, it started with football. So, you know, 9 to 16, I was playing for Liverpool. I did go to Everton for one season, but we won't talk about that. And then, you know, I played football from 9 to 16 without getting a penny. So obviously, if I was a boy, I would have been on a retainer by then. I would have been on a salary, but I wasn't because I was a female. And then in school, I just took music as a GCSE. I was never that kid who goes, oh, I sang from the time I could talk. I never was that. It was just, I took PE, I took science because I would have been a physiotherapist or something if I got an injury because that's what everyone else done. And then it was between history, geography and music. And the only reason I took music is because if it rained outside in our school, you got to sit in the music room. So I was like, brilliant, I'll do that. And then soon enough, I just fell in love with making music. It was the only other thing that made me feel like I'd score a goal. Like the music teacher would say, go home, write a verse or write a chorus and come in Monday. And I'd be writing and I'd just feel like the best release. And like, I was good and I knew I was good at it. And it was the only other thing, like I said, you know, when you boss at something, that was my footy thing and I couldn't find anything else. And then I literally done music for 2 years, and by the time I was 18, I got a big record deal, and I went from obviously football 9 to 16, not a penny. And then I went and got loads of money after 2 years. I was like, this is brilliant. I'll do this. And then, yeah, unfortunately, it's very like football. I use the analogies quite similar. You know, a manager signs you, but then say he gets the sack, a new manager comes in and you're not really his kind of player. Like he wants a big number 9 and you're maybe like a small, quick number 10. So I got dropped after a year, and I didn't release an album. But thank God, because they were trying to turn me into like a UK Alicia Keys. I played piano then and they were like, oh, you're mixed race and you play piano, Alicia Keys. I'm like, fucking hell, Einstein. Do you know what I mean? But thankfully, it never come out. And I got, you know, I got to learn what a backing vocal was. I got to learn how to really be in the studio and what every button does. And it was a great learning curve for me. Anyway, cut a long story short, no other record label wanted to touch me at that point. You know, I'd had shit tons of money thrown at my album. It didn't come out. So I got this one meeting. My manager found one guy who'd meet me. His name's Peter McCamley. And he'd signed the Spice Girls, Craig David, like amazing, amazing people. Anyway, I'm going down to London. I'm thinking, this is it. This is me calling. I've had a chance. My train broke down. And I got to meet him, and I was literally ran to the thing, and he was like, I've got another meeting. Like, he asked me one question, something like, I don't know, why'd you write music? And I give him some spiel. And I literally went back on the train sobbing, thinking, that's it. The universe is telling me it's not for me. I'm going to have to go and get a normal job. And then the next day, my manager called me. He said he's listened to like 150 of your demos, and he's found 2 songs that he thinks are hit. He wants to sign you, but it's a shit deal. Anyway, I didn't have another option, so I signed it. And literally 2 weeks later, he said, right, I'm signing you as a songwriter because you need to get recognition again. You know, people have kind of like, you know, you've had a chance, it hasn't worked, get recognition. And I went in the studio 2 weeks later and I wrote a song for Kylie Minogue, and then it all just changed.
Yeah. Say that again.
It was crazy. Honestly, yeah, Kylie, it was like, fucking hell, just mad. Yeah, it was crazy. And then from there, the phone started ringing, you know what I mean? It was like an album with like Sia, Pharrell Williams, and then Emenike, and then this kid, Chelsea Grimes, and everyone just started blowing me up. And that's when I first met Dua. I was writing for the Saturdays, Ollie Mays, like Little Mix. Everyone just started phoning up. And then, yeah, that happened. And then the weirdest thing around it all is that a year later, the label that dropped me ended up re-signing me for like double the amount of money.
Yes.
And I just
went
back in like, yeah,
yes.
Remember me? So it's been a crazy, crazy journey. But everything works out, and it's just that resilience I had, you know, I think, and I honestly do think football installed that into me. Like, you never give up. 3-0 down, you could be at halftime and you can still come back and win. And I never lost that in me. Even I remember getting the call saying you've been dropped, and I sobbed. It was like 2 days before Christmas, and I hated Christmas. I was just at a wreck. You know, my life went from being thinking you've made it and playing all, I was playing gigs with Ed Sheeran and everything, like coming through, and then boom, it's gone. And then, you know, just kept at it, lad, and believed in myself. And then, it all worked out.
Loads of people are talking at the moment, like on the on the news and stuff, where parents are going like, friggin' hell, like, I didn't realise how hard teachers have to work. Like, do you think that, like, looking back now, if you would have had a shit music teacher, you would have followed the same path?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I had 2 music teachers, Miss Hull and Mr. Quinn. Mr. Quinn, I loved. He was Irish, he was quite young. And he just honestly always used to just say, you've got a talent for it. Like, I've seen so many kids come in and I'd be like, really, sir? Like, I don't know. I like writing songs. That's it. And he was like, you're really good. And I don't know. I probably would have just thought, oh, I don't know, like, whatever. And he did push me. And, you know, at like assemblies or whatever, or when we'd all sit down for the school meeting, they'd be like, put me up to like start singing. And I never could. I was so shy.
Chels, what school did you go to?
I went to St. Julie's.
Oh, did you?
So it was like me, Jodie Comer, the actress, and Katarina Johnson-Thompson. I remember that as well because I was always the sporty one in school. Like, it was an all-girls school, and I made them like open a football team for my year. So anyway, I used to like be the sprinter, high jump, long jump. I was into everything. And then this girl come and started beating me. And I was like, who is this? And then I seen her get the gold medal. And I was like, I can live with that.
That is amazing.
I can live with that.
Well,
yeah.
Take this now. Crazy. You're a songwriter on a Grammy nominated album. A fucking Grammy.
Hold on a minute, Rich. For anyone who doesn't know, Chels co-wrote on Dua Lipa's albums. Unreal.
Future, nostalgia, love again. Yes!
It's just mad. Like, I never got given anything. No one in my family was musical. Like, I worked for every single bit love that it. I've got. You know, it hasn't been easy at all. It's been up, down, round the houses and back. You know, that's always been a massive dream for any songwriter to be on a Grammy nominated album. Like, there's not many that get chose. And yeah, it's just incredible. Like, it's just, I just smile from ear to ear when I just even say that out loud. Cause like, you know, I always think back to that kid, like, when I got dropped and I could have easily give up, you know, I could have easily. And that's what I tell everyone. It was very easy for me to just go into something else. I could have went and been a physiotherapist and thought, oh, well, it you know, it didn't work, but you've just got to keep believing. You've got to.
Well, that album come out at the start of lockdown. And I remember because we were like painting the wall in the back garden. We were having a gin and tonic at 3 in the afternoon. And that song was like the anthem. And I never even knew you then. We'd never met. We'd never spoken. I'm like,
oh, I don't even know how to describe that song. I wrote that song in, well, I had the title for ages because I broke up with my first girlfriend. I started dating this girl in between. And I was like, you know, it's one of them where you just think, oh, I'm never going to find anyone again. And I was like that. I was like, I'm never going to find anyone. And then I started falling for this girl and I just wrote that title down, Love Again. And I was like, da, 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 da. Anyway, we went in the studio with Dua and we were writing another song. And it was very hard on this album because first album, you know, I met her. She was no one. She had like 2,000 followers. She's like, hi, I'm Dua. We done about 8 to 10 sessions that first album and I got 4 on the album. And then this time, obviously, then she blew up and then she's working with, you know, Mark Ronson, Calvin, all these people. A time gets limited. I think she was only in the country for 20 days out the year. So I only got two sessions with her. And I was like, oh my God, like I need to make sure I'm on this album. Anyway, we wrote another song and then the next day she come in and she was supposed to vocal that other song, but me and the other writer, Coffee, who you see, if you've watched the Netflix show, Song Exploder, it's a documentary on how we made the record. Me and him were just in before she was a bit late and I was on the guitar and I was jamming and he had that melody and I was like, got me in love again. And I was like, no one has a song about like, so, you know, that feeling of just like, oh, relief. Like I have found another one. Like, and I was just super glued to it. Anyway, Dua come in. She's like, oh, I don't want to write a new one. I want to just record that. And we were like, please, just give it a chance. And then, you know, by the end of it, we all just looked at each other and we were like,
yes, yeah,
we've got one here. We've got one. And yeah, I mean, oh, it's just amazing when you just see it now, just what she's done. You know, she won the Grammy for Best New Artist last year. To just even say that I've got one song with her, amazing. But to say like I've wrote like 5 or 6 records with her now is just incredible.
I suppose for you, like now, lockdown, as much as you can't kind of travel as much and you can't go and do things, it doesn't really stop you writing, does it? I suppose it's loads of time and like loads of space to just sit down and put pen to paper for a bit.
Literally, it's been so nice. I mean, I've wrote another song which is coming out in March, I think, with well, you say it's coming out, it could be 6 months' time, but with those guys, PS1, they just had that big record. Maybe we could be like the others, they know how to have fun. So I wrote this record in the first lockdown on my iPad. I had an iPad. I literally recorded the vocals through this headset and then it got to them somehow. And yeah, it's just crazy because that song is potentially coming out with those same vocals that are recorded on an iPad. So it's not stopping any songwriters lockdown, that's for sure.
Do you have a favourite for all the jobs that you've got? Do you have a favourite?
No, I recently got diagnosed with ADHD as well. And that's why, because one day I want to be a singer. The next day I want to be play football. And he was like, your ADHD has actually helped you. Like, it's kind of like your superpower because you can't sit still for 5 minutes. And that's why you've kind of accumulated all these different careers. But it is true, you know, songwriting's very hard. There's thousands and thousands of songs people are writing a day for like 10 spaces on one album. Imagine it's difficult. So there is days when I'm like, oh, Britney turn me song down, or, oh, you know, Miley Cyrus doesn't want that. But then I might get a call and it's like, oh, you've just got a new TV job in Austria next week. I'm like, brilliant. So it just weighs itself out for me at the minute. Like, wherever something's maybe not going bad, I've managed to build this little life around me where I've always got something to look at. But I've literally winged the whole thing. I couldn't tell you now.
No, but I love that. That just shows if you've got that focus and you're consistent and you're determined and you've obviously got the skills, you just keep going and you don't give up, and it just shows what you've done, what you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything.
It's true. And like, you know, going back to 18, 19 year old me, you know, my TED talk, I've got a TED talk on Sunday, haven't I? And that's what my talk's about. My talk's, I say, call it what you want, luck, you know, whatever I call it, believing in yourself. And it was when I was 18, 19, I started believing in other people and not listening to my gut. You know, no, you can't have a girl in the video. All right, then, sound, because you must know, because you've sold loads of records or made these artists. And then it was like, well, I play football. All right, well, don't talk about that too much because people won't know what you are. Are you a songwriter? Are you a singer? Or are you a footballer? And then now I'm like, fuck off. Like, I'm a TV presenter. I have a podcast. I do write songs, yeah, and I sing them myself, and I play football, and I'm the new generational woman. Like, we can do anything.
Yeah.
It's that, and I just want to inspire. Like, I got one message from a mum, I'll tell you. That's, like, one of the, you know, standout ever messages that I've received from someone, and she said, we watched it on Soccer AM this morning, you know, you beat Wayne Bridge in the crossbar challenge, you ripped the lads, and then you performed at the end of the show, your song. She said, and my daughter watched you, and everyone said, you can't be a footballer and you can't be in music, and today you've proved that you can. And I just thought that was boss.
Unreal.
Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, I'm, like I said, I don't know what I'll go into. Fucking hell, I might go and start herding some sheep next week. Who knows? But, like, I just do what feels right, you know what I mean? And it's got me this far, so just follow your gut. Everyone out there, just that's me best bit of advice. Just follow your own gut.
What's the future got in store now in terms of career, work-wise, going forward?
Match of the Day X is on a break with the football season. That'll be back. Obviously, the Euros are in June, so I'm sure I'll be doing a lot of work for that. I've just signed a new deal with BT Sport, so I'm currently making two documentaries with them, which is I'm so, so passionate about. It's about young women in sport. It's a great show, what we're making there. Obviously, new music, new releases, and hopefully to fall in love again. Oh, wow, I'm playing love again.
I love that.
Just stay happy and healthy and doing more of your classes, Rich, because I'm obsessed.
Chel, thank you so much for coming on. It really has. But it's been so interesting to, like, see a girl who's a similar age from the exact same area do something. Do you know what I mean? It's nice. It's inspiring for, like, other women our age and in our generation to be like, do you know what? You don't have to pick, and you can do and be whoever you want to be, and that's okay. It's been gorgeous. Thanks, babe.
Yes. No, yous are so inspiring. And honestly, I know yous probably get told all the time, every day, when people, you know, you're bringing joy to everyone, but you are really changing lives. Like, I've seen it, not just in myself, like, but like I said, my mum, honestly, it's just been gorgeous to see. So keep doing what yous are doing and killing us all.
You do the same, because your song words do the same to many people as well. So we're both doing our bit. But I love that. Thank you so much, babe. Hey, babe, get off that couch and get in the kitchen now. Come on. Oi, it's baby time.
God damn. We do.
He's got me doing babies again. Oh my God, babe. I can't believe, right? That is the most inspiring story ever. A girl from round the corner from where we live and what she's just gone and achieved.
I think she shows, like, you will be knocked down and you will be knocked back. And I understand that we do, like, a health and fitness podcast, and it's about, like, talking about calories and this, that and the other. But it's such a mental process, and, like, overcoming things and overcoming doubting yourself and overcoming people doubting you as well. Like, you know, Chelsea got kicked off a record label, went back a year later and got twice the amount of money. Like, it shows you will have times where you try and you try and you try, and you know what, it might fail 100 times, but you pick yourself up and we go again.
Well, do you know what, I just feel super inspired to just go, a gay girl, already the obstacles are there, a mixed race girl, ADHD, it's like nothing will get in that girl's way. And it just, to me, it's just an inspiration for so many backgrounds, so many different types of people who can take inspiration from her and go, do you know what? I can fucking do this. And she's from Liverpool. She's our girl. I love it. Yes, Chelsea.
We are big Chelsea Grimes fans, gang. Oh, you can go on Spotify. Massive. And search Chelsea's name and you get all the songs that she's written, and the album's actually incredible. You don't realise how much she's written. Have a little nose.
Okay, guys. So as you know, podcasts are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. So if you want to buy us a little virtual drink to put towards production costs,
it's www.soundrebel.co.uk/girlgaging.
I'll have a G&T. Harriet will have...
No, I'm on the water now. I've been listening to Chelsea Grimes. Love, I'm a new woman. Sparkling now.
Hey, I'll have two. I drink fast.
Okay, so at the end of each week, we are going to set everyone a little challenge and we're going to try and follow it ourselves. But I don't know how well Richie's going to do on this one, to be honest with you. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. So this week, being inspired by Chelsea, what about we put the booze back in the cupboard and every morning we try and get ourselves out of bed nice and early and we get as much from every single day as we can. So set yourself a little list, give yourself some targets. We're going for mental clarity and sobriety all week.
Babe, are you on mute? Are you on... I can't hear what you were saying. Oh, do you know, I'll just make my own challenge up. I couldn't hear a word you just said that, babe. But anyway, have a good week and I'll see you next week, babe.
No, I'm not on mute, no.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal training session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week. Whoa! I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. Which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
Well, that's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.